witness against other people is okay, or bearing false witness against yourself is okay. When it specifically says thy neighbors, don't lie about them. We also see in Scripture that we're not to lie to them. And lying is a bit of a problem today, as it always has been. There's always been people comfortable telling lies. When we considered, it starts off when we're in school, a child cheating on a test. Or if, you know, you're asking a small child, did you do this? No. I tell you what, you could have one kid, and you could have one pack of markers, and that pack of markers could be in that child's hand. The marking on the wall could be red, and the red marker could be the one that's uncapped and right there in his fingers. And the door could be locked, there could be nobody come in, that child will still look you in the eye and say, no, I didn't do it. Right? It's just the way of us. We get way too comfortable telling lies. The ninth commandment is a call to all of us back to the truth. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and goes on to list the other seven, but I want to focus on that one. A lying tongue. People who are far too comfortable, or even again, just the people who are uncomfortable, taking the truth and skewing it. Or lying bold-faced. We try to make it cute. Oh, well, it's a white little lie. Well, you ought not tell any kind of lie. Doesn't matter how big or how small. It stretches to the churches, stretches to the corporate world, even in politics. I mean, my goodness, being a politician is synonymous with being a liar. Just the things that they're willing to say, knowing full well they've got no ability to do anything about it. I always giggle when we look at local politics and they list themselves as Democrat or Republican. What does that have anything to do with the park benches down in the park? What does that have anything to do with that? Which way you're going to vote? We're not having you run the government. We're running the big government. We're having you decide which buildings are allowed to come in and come out and zoning things and stuff like that. We're talking on a local basis. What are you going to do about abortion? You're going to sit there and tell us where you stand on abortion. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about immigration when you can barely get the Taco Bell to keep the land clean? You know what I mean? It's a joke. We tell lies. We try to make things look like they aren't. We try to make things that are look like things that aren't look like they are. And we tell these lies, and we think that there's zero chance of us getting caught. We ought to tell the truth, no matter what we could lose nor gain from it. Whether we're trying to save our own dignity, or we're trying to make ourselves look better than what we are, or we're trying to control the narrative on something else or someone else, lying is not a choice we have. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The standard is always to tell the truth. The standard is always honesty. The ninth commandment speaks specifically against perjury, but its application teaches far beyond the courtroom into the everyday life of a Christian. As a God of truth, God calls us to be people of truth. And we see today there is a plot against the truth, the way there always has been. Back in the garden, we've been looking at this on Sunday nights, where there was the devil. Hath God said? Is that really what he meant? Is that what God said? You got snakes in the pulpits today. Is that really what God said? Well, you can't take the Bible all too seriously. You must listen to some of the other people who have open revelations about things. And those open revelations did not take place at night, but they took place in a boardroom, where they were getting together to decide what would be best for the church, what would get more people in. It wasn't a vision they had. It was on a vision board as a group of board directors got together and said, this is what would grow the church. These are lies that people tell today in the courtroom, in the home, in the schoolhouse. People tell lies when we are commanded to tell the truth. Satan in this plot gets us to try to question the truth. We've read that verse over and over and over again. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Getting us to question what it is that God said. And then when we think we know what God said, he gets us to question what God meant. Oh, well, see, that was a mistranslation. I get so tired of people making these things about mistranslations, right? Well, you see, what you think it said was that this is wrong. But really, that was a clever plot by those people down over there in Antioch to get people to believe this. It was part of a doctrine they decided. And what they'll do is they'll say that the mistranslation is another thing that means the exact same thing. Oh, what, you think it meant six? Well, the Bible, I think a better translation would mean a half a dozen. And you see those things all the time, right? Well, you see where it says, God forbid? Really what it means is let it not be so. As a little one somebody gave me one time. Well, God forbid, that's a bad translation. What it really means is let it not be so. Why is that a bad translation? It says the same thing. There's a thing called idioms. Words don't translate exactly across. Go ahead and take a look at your Bible right here where you are, and I want you to find something in italics. That's that slanty writing. And once you found something, you know why that's there? You know why it's in italics? It's because the English translators had to put that word in there to make the sentence have structure in our language. Because if you translated it all the way over, it wouldn't make sense to us. So they had to fill in certain blanks. It happens in any translation. Anybody who takes one text and translates it to another, they have to do that. Why? Because sentence structure, use of all the tools we use, you know, adverbs, verbs, nouns, the way we use those, how to conjugate things. There's different rules for different languages. So in order to make those things make sense to us, they have to bring them over. And English is kind of a weird duck that way, in that some languages you have a really hard time bringing things in without having to do that. But it doesn't change what it's saying. That's our problem with the modern day translations. They change what it's saying, though they have no cause to. So they say, well, we didn't find that verse that way. It means this. All right, well, let's look back at the text that we have. All right, that says exactly what it says in the King James. What are you getting at? Well, you know, sometimes you got to just kind of freshen things up a little bit. What are you doing? You're lying. You're lying. April 15th is on Monday. Oh, everyone's getting real busy, right? Oh, we got to hurry up. Those people who put things off to the last minute, those procrastinators. I remember when I was a kid watching on the news. They had a reporter sitting outside of like a post office. Everybody was getting in there to get that April 15th post date on their taxes as they were signing it in. And I remember my parents saying, why would anybody wait so long? And they're getting nervous. I got to send that off. But man, I tell you what, I wonder how many lies are going to be told on April 15th. How many lies have already been told? Concerning how much money was made here or there, concerning how many people live in the house, just doing whatever they can to get an inch or to get an edge. I can't tell you how many people I've interviewed for jobs. Oh, yes, I've had 15 years of experience working on this or that. They show up day one, I hire them, they've got no tools. They've been working for 15 some odd years with no tools. That is a tremendously handy thing. To be able to be so resourceful, to never need any tools for a job you've been doing for 15 years. The lies, making ourselves better, to question what really is. To sit there and make us sit there and debate over the truth of a situation. Even when we see things on the TV, right? We'll hear about a crime being committed, something terrible happening, and you get these people who will sit at home and they'll conjure and question and debate things. The father of this behavior is the devil. If I can look out and I can see that the sun is shining, I do not need some wisecrack to sit there and try to mess with me on it. I used to have an uncle that way. Matt, what color is the sky? It's blue. No, it's not. And they'd go into this long scientific explanation. And I'd sit there and say, well, that's all well and good for you. But when I go out there and I look up, what color do I see? I see blue. And you can sit there and you can break down the scientific function and fraction of it. But you're just questioning truth. Why? To make yourself feel like you're the holder of truth, the owner of truth, the master of truth. But no man is the master of truth. Not even this so-called new thing where we say we have our own truth. No, things exist or they don't. They exist or they don't. It works or it doesn't. But there is no fabrication. There is no, well, it's different because I perceive it to be different, right? It reminds me of that lady we had. She had an emotional support cat, and she went through all the hoops to get the certification. She showed up, stamped the form. All right, you have an emotional support cat. She would take the cat out, and she would walk it. The cat did not like to be walked. So she's got the cat, she's got the leash on the cat, and her apartment was right next to my office. And she came down one day to walk the cat. Cat didn't want to go. She went to go put the cat down. The cat turned around on her and whack, 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 scratched her up good. That cat had long nails. She also told me that she had the cat declawed. That was a lie. I could tell by the scratches on her face. Whack, whack, whack. She called it an emotional support cat. That was an attack cat. That was a ninja cat. That was an angry beast. I sat there. We brought her in. We got her all doctored up. I'm sitting going, that is one of the most horrific things I have ever seen. Someone's pet cat that's supposed to make them feel better, tearing the tar out of them. I felt so bad. We got her all fixed up. I got real close to her eye. She went back up, put the cat back in. I never saw her try to walk it again. Hopefully it's a much more peaceful animal. But what you call something, just because you perceive it to be something, doesn't make it that. We call it faulty syllogism. You may call it an emotionally restful creature, but when it's trying to tear your face off, it's not. And that's a fact. Used to have emotional support, all kinds of things. Emotional support, pythons. Sit there and saw a guy, he had a bite mark on his hand. Where'd that come from? My snake? Would you get rid of it? No, they make me happy. Okay, sir. Okay. It's because we call something something doesn't make it something. And just because somebody can bring you to question certain things doesn't mean that those things aren't real. Doesn't mean that they don't exist. This world today, the devil is bent on making people question whether or not God exists. Doesn't change the fact you're going to stand in front of him. And what's even funnier is the devil knows he exists. He's just trying to upset God. He's just trying to sit there and mess with us. Oh, but the questions. Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You know what? The Lord wasn't talking about an immediate death. He was talking about a long-term one. And that's exactly what we have today. Anybody who's ever woken up sick, anybody who's ever woken up a little bit older, you can tell the age is setting in, you know. You look in the eyes, you look in the face. You know, I joke all the time, but it still happens. You know, we'll go out and people will sit there and still think my wife's my daughter. She's aging well. I'm aging fast. And it's just, there it is. You know, it's part of dying. You're dying. That's what happens with age. That's what happens with the backgrounds. That's what happens with genetics. But in there is that sin. We're dying. Why'd this break? Why is that not working well? Why do I need another procedure? Because that's what sin does to the body. That's what the Lord meant. But the servant says, oh no, you'll not die. You'll just have special information. I'll tell you this. I would trade that special knowledge for long life anytime. I would trade knowing how to lie to not know about it. You know what I mean? All we really got is that we got to know that it exists and how to do it, and it's hurt, done nothing but hurt us. That special knowledge of knowing good and evil, knowing how to do evil, that's done me no favors. Has it done you any favors? Let's go on down to the prisons. Let's go on down to the slums. Let's go over to the people with serious addiction issues. Let's talk to people who come from broken families. Let's talk to the people who broke those families. And let's see, has knowing evil done you any good? Man, I'd trade that any day. Just because we question things doesn't mean what they say we're going to get out of it means we're going to get out of it. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is a liar, and he's been propagating lies ever since. Even the ones he believes in his own self, where he believes that he can be like God. All right, these are lies he believes. These are lies he tells. There are lies that he tells to us that we too could be like God. But the closer we've ever followed him, the worse our scenario's ever gotten. Some people believe that culture can help us to change the truth, right? As culture shifts, truth changes. No, what God has written in the book, that is the way we ought to behave. This is the way we will be judged. This is what we will be judged on. God's never going to sit there and say, all right, well, let me open up another book. What was going on in the 1960s? Okay, well, according to this book, everybody in the 1960s, that's what they were doing. So you're okay. Now let's look over in the 70s. All right, you changed your views to align there. Let's flip over to 2024. Oh, look, you're still in line with what society is saying. So even though my book says A and you did B, you kept up with societal norms, so you're okay. That's not going to happen. And there'll be many people who die an atheist, who stand before God, and all of a sudden become theists real quick. And they're going to stand before him and there's going to be nothing. There's going to be no YouTube social media influencer. There's going to be no doctor. There's going to be no lawyer. There's going to be nobody to stand there and hear them say, well, I was always taught you didn't exist. Doesn't matter. Truth is the truth and truth stands. A shift in cultural norms does not change morality. Does not change what God has said. Doesn't change that at all. And we sit there and say, well, that was a, you know, that we need to open our minds. You've got to be real careful with an open mind. What happens when you open your mind a little bit too far? You allow things in that don't make no sense. You know, I wonder who the first person was who decided to pick up a sword or a spear. Yeah, we know we know Cain picked up a rock to kill his brother out of anger, but I wonder who the first person was who picked up a sword to go steal land. Thought, well, if I just kill this innocent person, I could take their land, I could take what they have, I'll take their wife, I'll take their cattle. I wonder who that person was. Like not just their name, but like what kind of place they had to be mentally. And what has that given birth to? That's given birth to years upon years upon years of us going to war over things that we shouldn't have to go to war over. If we just handle things properly. Now, when we allow corruption in, when we allow that kind of attitude in, well, you got to be open-minded. We either take what we need or we don't have. That's an open-minded idea. That stuff comes in, who knows? And just because everybody around you is chanting it doesn't make it a good idea. Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We need to beware. Because there's going to be people who call the evil things good. And there's going to be people who call the good things evil. Right? Well, how dare you bigoted people get together on a Sunday morning? Well, what makes you think we're bigoted? Because you're Christians, and I've known other Christians who are bigoted, so therefore you're all bigoted. Well, do you believe that gender is a physical thing or a mental thing? Well, I believe it's a physical thing, you bigot. Come on now. We sit there, we believe all kind of fairy tales. You sit there and you realize you got a relative that believes themselves to be an animal. And yet for some reason it's insensitive to put them a water bowl out. You know what I mean? It's nonsense. But yet these are the lies we tell. These are the things we say. We call it, you know, when we're sitting there, well, a person is a person, an animal is an animal. Yeah, but in my mind I feel as though I'm an animal. All right, well, go howl at the moon then. Are you a bigoted person? That's ridiculous. We play these silly games. Well, that's a lie. Well, it's not a lie, it's their truth. And I'm quickly realizing that when we say that's their truth, it's a lie. You know, I'll tell you this, I'm a Nigerian prince. I got $10 million locked up in an account. But in order for me to get to it, I need 1,000. That's why I'm writing you this email. You sit there and then you realize that that's not a Nigerian prince. That's some guy named Chuck writing from his parents' basement to try to scam you, right? we'd say that is a lie. But yet when somebody comes in and they say that there's something else, we say, oh, well, that's just their truth. Well, I don't know. Maybe he is a Nigerian prince. Maybe that's his truth. We tell these things, oh, we ought to have an open mind. No. When we sit there, and if our mind is so open that we can believe lies, that's too open. That's not even an open mind. That's naivety. That is foolishness. Right? That is gullibility. And I'm not a very gullible person. I can be fooled every now and then, but I'd like to think with the vast majority I can pick up on it. We ought not call evil good. Well, it's just business. It's just good business. Well, it's business, but it's not good business. It's evil business. Well, you know, we didn't figure people would notice or care. You know, we didn't think it'd be a big deal. We have the right to do it. They signed the contract. Yeah, but if you know what you're doing is predatorial, that's not good. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And our world is filled with that today. And we're hurting each other. And we're disrespecting God. And then we wonder why we have the society we live in. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now nobody can ever tell you again the New Testament doesn't talk about homosexuality. I heard some slick quote-unquote theologian say, well, that's not what that verse means. I'm not an incredibly educated man, but I don't think you need to understand what's being said there, do we? Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's what it keeps saying, right? It's like many other doctrines we've been looking at on a Sunday night. That's what it says. That's what it keeps saying. And if you don't like it, then you can't sit there and pretend that God said anything else. You can't. You want to be a Christian, you got to get the whole book. You want to be a Christian, you got to claim the whole book. But I get tired of these people who stand up behind pulpits and say that's not what God said when that's what God keeps saying. It's like these people who go, oh, the Bible doesn't say that it's that old. The world is that old. It's specifically spelled out evening and day. Well, it's figurative language. What's the difference between evening and day and figurative language then? Doesn't make much sense. The Bible tells us what it is, and again, there's the devil making us question. Again, preachers today, what do they preach? You can't just rest on the book. You got to have your own spiritual journey. You got to have your own daydreams and your own thoughts and your own chasings on it. Now listen, you're allowed to have thoughts on what's on the book, but you're not allowed to apply your thoughts to the book. Does that make sense? When I sit there and I read the Bible and I say, this is what I think that means, and I dig in and I learn and I study, and I say, okay, now this is what it says. I'm allowed to think about the book. I'm allowed to have thoughts on the book. I'm allowed to chase those thoughts down to make sure they're accurate in the book. But what I'm not allowed to do is sit there and have a theory of my own and then ignore where the Bible tells me I'm wrong on that theory. And then get up in pulpits and start preaching that theory and ignore the large passages of Scripture that tell me I'm wrong. And there's a whole pattern to these people who reject the truth. And we'll look at them next week, Lord willing. But there's a pattern to truth rejectors where they resist scriptural truth, where they reject what other people have to say. They're scoffers is what we'll come to call them, scoffers. Those who, regardless of how often you show them the truth, either in the word or in the natural world around you, they will still sit there and, oh, that's not true, I don't believe that. And these scoffers will look at them and the rhyme and reason behind them as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful so very much.